Let us read together for our instruction from the prophecy of Habakkuk, chapter 2. The prophecy of Habakkuk, chapter 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it, but at the end it shall speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. They also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his? How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay? Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee? And thou shalt be for booties unto them, because thou hast spoiled many nations. All the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labour in the very fire, and that the people shall weary themselves for very vanity. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbour drink, and puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid, because of man's blood, and for the violence of the land. of the city, and of all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, and the molten image, and the teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And the Lord instruct us from his own holy word and help us in prayer. Merciful, gracious God, as we seek to come before thee and worship, we would desire that each may be given a heart to worship thee, and that we may extol thee because thou art great, and thy greatness is unsearchable, and thou art holy, and therefore to be feared. But thou art also gracious, in that thou dost look upon a poor needy sinner, brought to know himself, and to plead with thee for mercy, and that thou mayest take away their iniquity, remove it as far as the east is from the west, and so to plead that thou wilt cast all those sins into the depths of the sea, that they might know the power of thy love. Draw me, we will run after thee, said the spouse, the church of the Old Testament, and also of the New. O Lord, we would run, and yet we often find, Lord, that there's a holding back because of our own sinfulness. Because, O Lord, we are weak, because we are doubting, because, Lord, we are apt to trust in our own strength and find therefore we are weak. But may we know, Lord, the strength of thine arm, that which will hold us up, and that which will defend us as we go step by step. And though it may sometimes seem to be about only a step and then a step, and how slow we seem to move, and yet, O Lord, we will be thankful if thou dost bring us on our way and learn the lessons which we often have to learn and are so slow to learn. Lord, we know there are many snares laid for our feet, and we need, Lord, to be therefore shown what those snares are, that we may then discern them, and then to find that thou dost give us the wisdom through the counsel of thine own mouth, thine own word. O Lord, may it be that we are therefore instructed out of thy word, and find that the word is to us as that word that will direct us, but also bring comfort and consolation, that word that may strengthen us in our inner man. Lord, we also pray that thou wilt grant thy help this evening, First, to the hearers in hearing. Lord, may their ears be unstopped if they are deaf to the things of God. And if, Lord, they are brought to hear, then in hearing may they find there is a receiving of the word into an honest heart. And Lord, when we are made honest, we have to be honest with ourselves, and that brings us to confession. We have to be honest with our God, and that brings us to have the fear, the gracious, godly fear, which would tremble at thy word. And it will bring, O Lord, those that we have to do with in the house of God, to also know that they may look upon us and may find their hearts drawn out to thee concerning those that are true seekers. And so if they lift their up one or another that may be upon their hearts, that thou wilt grant those answers in due time, we may see the fruits and evidence the goodness of God unto this or that one. O Lord, it is our mercy that thou knowest us altogether. Thou knowest, Lord, where we are. Thou didst know where Adam was when he sinned. And thou didst know, O Lord, where thy people are to be found when they are seeking to deliver themselves, but find they cannot from their own sinful wretchedness. And thou canst come and show them what righteousness they need, not of their own, but that which thou canst impute to cover their shame, their nakedness, and to bring them to rejoice in that finished work. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant then thy help, not only in hearing, but also in speaking. O Lord, gird us our tongue. May we be able to declare the whole counsel of God. We pray that we may not be left to keep anything back that should be said, neither, Lord, to speak unadvisably unto the people, and declare those things which are not for us to declare, but that it is to realize that we are only what we are as thy mouthpiece, as thou dost give the word, and then there can be the publishing of it. Now, Lord, we would pray that thou would look upon this people. Thou knowest them all together. There are those that are gathered, those that are kept at home because of parental responsibilities, those in their affliction. We're thankful that there can be a listening in, and that thou wilt indeed bless the means unto them. Lord, it is our great mercy that thou dost provide the means, but may we not, Lord, ever put those things above what we ought to be and do, and to be found in that manner whereby we are gathered, if it is possible. But Lord, we know that there are those things that do detain, and that we will not therefore desire to despise any because of their affliction or because of their circumstances. But now, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant thy goodness to be known unto this little cause of truth. Thou knowest all that they have passed through, and now we pray that there may be that binding up, that healing, that help given to unite and to know a little of that fellowship which is with the Father and with the dear Son of the Father, even Jesus Christ. We bear before thee thy dear servant in our midst, and seek that thou wilt grant blessing upon his labours. May he see that there is fruit in its appointed season. We know that the husbandman hath long patience, and Lord, we sometimes get to the end of our patience and say, will it ever come? Will it ever be? And yet, Lord, thou art faithful. May we ever realise that, and we may prove that though one may sow, another may reap, and there are those that enter into the labours of thy servants, and they may seem to gather the benefits, and yet the sower and the reaper are all needful, and therefore may we be content if ours is but to sow the seed. Lord, we know not what will prosper, whether this or that. We therefore cast forth what we have put into our hearts and minds, and pray that some may fall into good ground, and therefore bring forth 30, 60, or 100-fold, as thou art pleased to bless it. But we know, Lord, that Paul may plant and Apollos water, but thou must give the increase. We would pray, Lord, for the young, and thou wilt look upon them in their tender years. Keep them, Lord, from the many evils. As they grow up into years, Lord, put a hedge about them. May it be that they are brought to a lively and living concern, a living and a lively concern with regard to their souls. When they have to face the world, that they may stand fast in what they know is according to thy word. And also what they may feel as it is set before them, or what is thy will. O Lord, we find that thou dost lead, and sometimes in strange paths. But Lord, thou canst lead us as the children of Israel are spoken of, and he led them forth by a right way. They had no city to dwell in, and we may dwell literally in cities or towns, and yet we find there is nothing there which we can settle down in. But Lord, it is good with thou to stir up our nest, that we do not settle in the things of this world, and find that the spirit of covetousness, or the spirit of apathy, overtakes us, that we are not left just to be content with earthly things. O Lord, we would watch thy providence, but we need thy grace. And now, Lord, we pray that thou would grant thy help to those that bear office, and knowest what burdens they may carry, and those things that they have to shoulder, perhaps sometimes feeling they're alone, and yet may they prove they're not alone. And then, Lord, we also would pray for thy people, the scattered here and there, the varying gatherings, as they may be, sometimes as few as two or three, and other times we may find a gathering of quite a number. But Lord, the one thing needful is that it might be Jesus in the midst. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt grant also thy mercy to thy little remnant. Lord, help us to stand in this evil day in which we live. We do not know what we may have to face, but Lord, we may find that there are those that try to undermine and take from us our liberties. Those that would try to shut our mouths with regard to those important things that concern our way of living. Lord, we know that John the Baptist did speak to Herod concerning his sin, and the outcome eventually was that he lost his head, as it may be said, brought in a charger through the whim of a daughter. Oh Lord, not literally, but spiritually, we may find that we are faced with such things. Those that hate us because we are not of the world. Oh, to be willing to be not of the world, but to be as found as true followers of our Lord and Saviour. But Lord, may we also consider that word, blessed are ye when all men shall speak evil of you and persecute you. Oh, then to rejoice and to be exceeding glad because of that which thou hast prepared for us in heaven itself. And now, Lord, we will not multiply words further, but we would pray for our leaders in the respect that we seek they may be given right wisdom, and also our King, that thou mayest have mercy upon him, and that affliction that thou hast brought upon him might be for his true concern and profit, as he might realize this solemnity before him, an eternity, and where shall he spend it? O Lord, if thou wast to work in his heart, and he declare it unto the nation, then what an effect it may have in thy hand. Oh, we do pray also for his consort, and for also those that are all of the royal family And some of them also having faced those things which may have affected their natural health, or that they might then consider their need of spiritual health. May I do pardon us then of every sin, all that we've utterly misforgive. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
May we be held to continue by singing together hymn 136, hymn 136, tune Dublin 129. Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. To thee I tell each rising grief, for thou alone canst heal. Thy word can bring a sweet relief for every pain I feel. Hymn 136, tune Dublin 129.
Oh,
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I will direct your attention to the prophecy of Habakkuk, chapter 2, and we will read verses 2 and 3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. The prophecy of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. The answer of the Lord unto his servant, to declare those things that may bring some comfort and consolation unto those that are brought to run in the things which they are taught, and that which may be written upon the tables, the fleshy tables of the heart, not upon tables of stone. For we know that the law, though it is spiritual and good, yet it does not bring 1 ounce of hope, all the while we cannot keep it. And we know that we have such a nature that will not keep it, but be found like Israel of old, that went after their idols and shed the blood over those things which it was not of any value or good. They erred in their ways, they turned from their God. And therefore when Habakkuk would stand upon his watch and be set upon the tower, then it was that he may have an answer given to those who may reprove, or as the margin reading is, argued with. And we know that we have first of all a heart, a sinful, deceitful heart, that will argue against those things which it despises, and still wants to indulge in the ways of evil and wickedness. And though it may like a form or a cloak of religion, yet it does not receive all that may be spoken in those things that they must acknowledge, that they will not receive it. Acknowledging, we may do it with a nod, and yet then turn and continue in the thing which we have opposed because of the hatred in our own heart. But also we find that there is a world in which we live that will indeed argue against the things of God. And when they see you endeavouring through the mercy and help of the Spirit to walk as one ought to walk, and to run in those ways which we ought to run in, though we may feel ourselves to be so deficient, and feel that we are not making much progress in the race. Under these that may argue, as it were, and turn against us and try to convince us that there is no point in continuing on, you might as well give up. Then how we need then the voice to speak. We may be in that darkness, feeling that we cannot see our signs. We are distressed because of the many trials that we are passing through. And we may not know which way to turn or how to go. But there is instruction here. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. What is the vision that we require and what God gives? It is that vision which the apostle speaks of when writing to the Hebrew church. And it is to a people that have been troubled considerably, particularly by those Jewish Pharisees and those who would deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the apostle writes this, where but call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And I think this is it. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. The faithfulness of God unto his little remnant. The faithfulness of God unto a poor, destitute soul, whose prayers are answered, though they may have to pray long, or feel they do. Yet, those tears are stored up in his bottle, and he owns those things, and therefore will not long have us to wait. And yet, like Mary and Martha had to wait for the Lord to come, and their brother only seemed to sink lower and lower until the word death was written over it. Lazarus is dead. But there was still hope. There was still life that can be given, and to bring forth from the tomb, and to also restore one to the life that may then be alive to exhibit the wondrous mercy and goodness of God. And you know, though we may not literally die as Lazarus did and be raised, that was particular and special because it was to show forth unto those that may look on the power of the one that was in the midst of them, even the Son of God, though seen as a man, and he was a man, a real man, and the efficacy of that word that he spoke may still be known and realized amongst those that he speaks to. Come forth from the grave of which you may be buried in, when you are covered, as it were, with all your guilt and sin, and you may say, what can I do? Well, the vision is for an appointed time. What vision do you require? You need to know how those sins which you bear in your own heart and feel that you stand condemned under that which may be written upon stone, but to find that there is a table upon which the Holy Ghost may write in clear terms concerning the manner of the removing of those sins and iniquities. We see them by faith. And faith, the apostle speaks in that chapter that we've read from, immediately. Though the vision is for a time, it will come, it will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And ye are not of them that draw back, that press on despite all the opposition that may face you. And you are brought to see that what you need is one who can bear the punishment of those sins. That they should be therefore laid upon the substitute, the one who will be the lamb that will bear the knife to be thrust into it and therefore made an offering. And that such an offering and the shedding of blood may bring full remission and wash away Mary's or Manasseh's stains and sins more vile than they. But you have to often prove that you are given to the idols of your flesh and given to those things which, if we're left to ourselves, will be overcome. But we then view the vision of the one who gave himself so willingly to bear the affliction, to bear the sorrow, to bear the pain, the intensity of what was required to be born. And what was that intensity? Well, we may look upon the one that hung upon the tree and think about the bodily pain, but he had the powers of darkness that assailed his soul. He had those things which would try to afflict him. And he was afflicted. He was afflicted for and on behalf of his people. And he knows what their afflictions are and what your afflictions are, if through the mercy of God he is exercising you unto the knowledge of the things that are before you, in which, and a path in which you must run. You must run. But you need that enlargement of heart. You need the Lord to show you how it is that He, in all those sufferings which He endured, was to sustain, was to be sustained, and was sustained by the Father, who would give of that Spirit that would enable Him in His humanity to bear and to come through all that He had to bear on the behalf of His sheep, His people, on my behalf. Now, what I want to come to in this, on your behalf, if exercised in these things, what I want to come to is this, that here was a manifestation of love, the vision of love to a poor, wretched, hell-deserving soul, and yet there may be hope. Hope in this mercy, which can really only be rightly discerned as we see Him who humbled Himself to the sufferings of death, and there to see one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, and looked and cast His languid eye upon such a one as you. He did on Peter. Why not then for you? You may say, I denied Him. So did Peter. But are you greatly grieved, and oh, you feel almost that you have committed the unpardonable sin? But that was not the unpardonable sin that Peter was left to fall into. He was but in Satan's net. Those that are guilty of the unpardonable sin are those that are taken and eaten up with the belief that the very one that is able to deliver them bears that or does those things by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. In other words, the very spirit in Christ they speak of as being a devil and therefore not of God. They therefore deny Him as the Son of God. And therefore they charge Him with blasphemy. And therefore they would say that such a one is but an impostor, or one that is trying to exert himself to some position. He had no need to do such a thing, because He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the High Priest of His people. He is the one that is able to do far more exceeding abundantly above what you and I can ask or think. Therefore, a humbled soul comes in need, in their need, to the Saviour, like the dear woman who pressed through the crowd. Yes, much opposition, but she said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment. That was where the sound of the gospel was, the hem of His garment. You may say, I don't understand what you mean. Well, when Aaron, you know, had his garments on, then the borders of the bottom of the garment, that very hem, they bore the bells and the pomegranate fruit, as it may be thus depicted. The bells sound forth the fact of his presence, all of his going in to make an atonement, and his coming out to make it plain that he has atoned. Ah, the glorious sound of that gospel to a poor, unworthy sinner. This is indeed music which cannot be compared with any other. Well, it creates in you then that a sound of thankfulness and praise unto his name. It's good when we can bless his name and also rejoice. But you may be a poor limping beggar, not able to make very much headway, so to speak. And yet, when you consider the love that was here revealed, in that he gave himself an offering for sin. The words that came to me are those of the hymn writer, which seem to speak of this in a very sweet way. For love of me, the Son of God drained every drop of vital blood. Long time I after our idols ran, but now my God's a martyred man. And therefore the vision, which is for an appointed time, this vision, what a blessed vision it is. Now you may, as it were, gird up your loins and run. Again, in this epistle to the Hebrews, Paul goes on to set before us the long line of witnesses. And those that by faith and through faith they overcame, they were more than conquerors. Though they suffered much, though there were many things that may have tried them, though they had to make a stand and be found to be different from those with whom they were amongst, like Moses, there in the house of Pharaoh, but he had to leave it, and also to seek after his brethren, those that were suffering under bondage, and then because he did what he felt was according to justice. Those that were beating his people, so he upped and slew an Egyptian. And it was known, and he fled until the time came, the vision that was for an appointed time. Where? In the backside of the desert. Yes, a place that you may least expect. But there he saw a sight, the burning bush that was not consumed. Setting forth, in fact, perhaps varying things, but I think principally it sets forth the fact of the divine glory there being found in that bush that was not consumed, even in the humanity of our Lord and Saviour. And in all that he suffered, a baptism to be baptized with, yet he was not consumed. And that is the very secret as to why you and I are not consumed, if we are one of those that he has graciously plucked as a brand from the burning and brought us to know that which we may, when we consider our vileness by nature, expect to be consumed by the very life of the Spirit that is now given. But that which we have is not consumed, but to know that the power of grace can humble us under that mighty hand of our God, and that which will exalt us in due time, when we are brought as a poor helpless worm to fall into the arms of our saving God. Well, now the vision is for an appointed time, as though it tarry, wait for it. Therefore, let us be given that grace to wait. Wait upon him, much in prayer. And yet you may find that you seem to be often so prayerless. You find there are those, they can always say how they prayed about this, that and the other. We will not despise it, we will not question it, but with yourself you may feel very, very deficient. And that will cast you right down. But remember this, dear friend. And one dear soul had it, as I may say, as a vision. She coming into the house of God, dropped into her seat, and in all the labours of the day, she felt that she could do no other. And it suddenly came to her, and you haven't even prayed. And then it dropped in, but he has prayed for you. To get a view of Christ in all his intercessions. When those disciples were being tossed about on the sea, where was their Lord in the mountain? Having communion with his Father, but what was he communing concerning those that he had come to deliver from their tossed condition? From their danger that they were in. And at the appointed time, he would go to them. The fourth watch. We may say, I wish he'd come in the first watch. But you see, faith had to be tried. Faith had to be tried. It doesn't always come just at, I was going to say, the will or the whim of the flesh. And we need to be to realise that sometimes that in all our great need there is the desire of the flesh to be delivered out of it. It doesn't like the trial and the trouble. Therefore, it will say, well, why doesn't he come? Why doesn't he come? Well, he will come. He will come. He will not tarry. So, troubled soul, wait on. Wait on. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. Write the vision. The vision is written in words. But the words are eternal, because it is the Word Himself that writes it. He may write, He may use those His messengers that go forth in His message. But when the Word is applied with power to your soul, it is as though those words are written upon tables. And then it's made plain. It's made plain. And now you can run in the way which He sets out. This is the way of holiness. Not all the endeavours to be better than you were yesterday, better today than you were yesterday. No, you will find that the more you strive against sin's power, you sin and stumble but the more. But when it is made plain upon tables, and that is therefore enters into the very heart, you find that there you can then run. I was going to bring you to, and I didn't, but I will now. You see, this is the way of those witnesses that ran that race. And this is the exhortation. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And now, for our encouragement, as we are now in the path of our trial, our trouble, we're trying to press through in this wilderness world with all its opposing forces. For consider Him that suffered such contradictions of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The vision. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, that it might, but at the end it shall speak and shall not lie. The devil will say, well, it's all lies. You're holding on to something that's but a myth. It'll never come to pass, not for you. Despite the many countless that will tell you of what God has so graciously done and helped them and brought them through some of the deepest trials, it won't be for you. The devil is a liar and a father of lies. But now the vision will not lie. Why won't it lie? Because we see the one who has carried our sorrows, borne our griefs, the one who suffered to bear all our sins, yes, all our sins. I don't know whether I should mention this point, because it can be misunderstood. But you know that precious blood that was shed is of infinite value. It can wash away the greatest sin that you can imagine to be, as well as what men may call but little sins. But in the sight of God, sin is sin. All sins need to be punished with a punishment which will satisfy holy justice. And what is the punishment? Death. Death. And so, he that is guilty in one point is guilty of all. But now, our sins against him, if they are to be measured, they must be measured by the one whom we have sinned against. And in that, if we have sinned against God, then our sins may be said to be infinite. And what we need is an infinite sacrifice. I do not mean to say it's a sacrifice that will be for all and sundry, and that there's a residuum, as it has been said, for some that may come to believe, though they were not actually chosen to be so. We can say this, that none would believe except they were brought by the gracious power of God and the Spirit working in them to believe. Therefore, how dependent we are. Wholly dependent upon this sovereign work, this glorious vision of seeing the infinite God who willingly would take that humanity to be seen in all its finite state, and yet being the glorious person of the Son of God, no less than the Son of God. And now we see him there hanging upon a tree, under the curse, suffering for the sake of his people. And oh, to find through the testimony of the vision, I have borne all this for you. I've died for you. I've shed my blood for you. I made a full atonement whereby you may then again be revived and renewed in the life that I alone can give. And what a life it is. Eternal life. That's the only thing that will save you from eternal death. Eternal life. And it's given. It's given. What gave it? Sovereign love. Sovereign love. The vision. Here it is set before us, and it will not lie, though it tarry. And you know, we can be certain of this, that there will not be one lost that he has come to save. Not one. All my sheep, they're my sheep, and he brings them. But what might the sheep say? I am as a sheep going astray, seek thy servant. Oh, seek me, Lord, seek me out and bring me. bring me back from the very place where death seemed so apparent. There on the edge of this precipice, there in the pit, not able to get out, there a hopeless case. But now, in the great mercy of God, He comes to find, to seek out His sheep. I will seek them out. He knows what which are thieves and robbers will do. He knows what they are that are hirelings, as they are spoken of by our Lord. He doesn't leave it to them to save His sheep. He may use those under shepherds. He may use those servants, those messengers that bring and speak of peace. Yes, but that is sovereign in setting up those who will there stand upon their watch and set upon the walls will therefore declare the hope that may be known of salvation unto a poor needy soul. And therefore, what is spoken is certain unto all that He will bring. And it's He that brings them, drawn by the cords of a man, by the bands of love. The vision, which is for an appointed time, it will not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Some have waited long, haven't they? And some have been brought at an early age, and some have been brought not many years before their death, and perhaps not many days, or even not many hours. We have the case of the dying thief. One who was there, you would say a fit character for his punishment. And he realised that he was that. But now, remember me, when thou comest into thy kingdom. He saw that he had a kingdom, that he was the king, and only the king could save. Yes, by that act of mercy, royal condescension. And so, what was the answer? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Although it may have been at the end of his life, yet he was one that was there, truly plucked as a brand from the burning. But we have known those dear souls that have perhaps spent many a year coming and going to the house of God. And they have they've confessed that they thought, and I'm thinking of one particular who I knew, but I will not speak of any name, she thought that she was as good as anybody else. And she entered into one of our Bethesda homes. And there she looked around and she said, I'm as good as them. But then the Lord began to work. And when he worked there at the age of 88, She desired to follow him in the waters of baptism. And she was eaten up with arthritis. And the matron at the time said, "What faith, what faith." She, of course, being a gracious soul herself, but to see here one at such a great age venturing. It's never too late to venture, friend, is it? We may go the other end and say it's never too, none are too young. Too young when the Lord brings that power and you see the vision and you wait for it and it comes. And it comes. Well, I came to the site this evening. It wasn't until I actually entered into the chapel, through the door there, that the word run had come through my mind, and I could not get away from it. But what should I tell you? And then it seemed to clarify. And and those words that we have read to you then seemed to come, and that he may run that readeth it. That readeth it. And so the vision, hear what we have. Hear that may then be sealed home upon your own heart, that ye may run. So run. So run. May you be able to do so when that grace is bestowed upon you, and do not linger. Do not linger. No, may you be given the grace to run. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 303, June Hollingside 514. I'll read the last two verses. Thou, O Christ, art all I want, all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness, vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to pardon all my sin. Let the healing streams abound. Make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art. Freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart. Rise to all eternity. Hymn 303, June Hollingside, 514.
Thank you.
And communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.